Well, welcome to Awakening Moments podcast today. Lori and I are so excited to spend some time with you. And we've been going through the Lord's Prayer, and it has just been doing something so fresh and so new inside of each of us. We hope it's been the same for you. But as we dive into this next section of the Lord's Prayer, we'd love to read the entire prayer for you again. And I'm going to read it out of my New Living Translation. We have it a little bit different each time, but I'm going to read it from my Bible. And it says it a little bit different, but it says this, and I'm reading from Matthew 6. If you're not sure where to find this, it's Matthew 6, verse 9. And it says, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't yield us to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." So this is the prayer. Just allow those words to just go deep into your heart. I'm going to say it one more time. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So today we would love to dive into, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And this is a really sensitive one. It's a beautiful one. We talk about the forgiveness of sins of what God has done for us and the redemption. But forgiveness is a difficult journey because forgiveness comes with a lot of pain, a lot of hardship. It's a journey. You go on in forgiveness. Forgiveness is not about a feeling, but it definitely affects deeply the deepest parts of our emotions. Your feelings come, but it's the journey of choosing to forgive. What does that look like? I think this is a deep one to unpack. But if we were just to say from the beginning, forgive us our sins, I think this is a beautiful thing to just start with the beginning of this. What does that mean, forgive us our sins? What are we saying when we say forgive us our sins to God? And so I think this would be great, Lori, for us to start with us and then to be able to unpack forgive those who sin against us.
Yeah.
But let's start with the first one. Forgive us our sins.
Well, I think it's significant that that line is first.
Yes.
I think it's very significant that that line is first because honestly, even as you were reading it, my mind wanted to go to that word debtors. My mind wanted to go to those who have wronged me because that's a little bit closer on my mind than how I have wronged God. Like, do you know what I mean? The ways that people have offended us, the ways that, you know, the things that are going on in the world that you're like, what? Like, I would never do that. You know what?
Yes.
These kinds of offenses, they live sort of in the forefront of our mind and our identity and who we are. And the ways that we need to come before God in repentance, they're kind of like down a little lower. We need some time to pull those up. So I love that even as Jesus is teaching us the way to pray, he's saying, I want you to start first with you. And it reminds me of the scripture that talks about the plank and the speck.
Oh, right.
Okay. You know, Jay and I often joke, we say like, oh, is my plank showing? You know, like, is my log showing? Like, because we're, you know, talking about somebody else's, you know, an offense that we have or whatever. We go, oh, okay, sorry, my log's showing again. You know, like, we joke about this, but
it's so true.
Like, the scriptures teach us that, like, we are to remove the log from our own eye, saying, and what that means is like we're supposed to recognize that the gravity of our own sin is that of a log before God. It's massive. And it sounds like such a silly reference because if you literally just visually picture a giant log coming out of someone's eye, it would look so ridiculous and so obvious. But that's exactly how God wants, like, he's teaching us to see it like that. He's teaching us to see it as between us and him. It's such an obvious gap. It's such an obvious, like, a separation, a break. It's not as it should be. And we're supposed to be focused on it as though it was as big as a log, whereas the things that people have done to us are that of a speck in comparison. So, and why is this? Why is this? Because it doesn't feel like that in the day to day. It's because God is holy and he's perfect.
Yes.
We're not. So our sins one to another are that of a speck. We're sinners sinning against each other. This is like, there's no holy between us. Like,
yes.
Do you know what I mean? If you wrong me, it's not like I'm perfect. So I can be like high and mighty about that. I wrong other people, or I've probably wronged you too. Like,
yes, yes.
I'm a person in sin, of sin, who has sinned, who has probably got some things I need to deal with, but God is perfect and he's holy. So our sin next to him is like huge. It's like a massive giant plank, and God really, really wants us to see this. So I love that this line is first. So the first line is, forgive us our debts. So this is the, he's teaching us about the power of repentance. And the scriptures teach us again and again from the Old Testament to the New, the power and the healing that comes from repentance. And I don't know if it's like a North American thing. I don't know if it's a cultural thing. I don't know if it's just kind of how we were raised in church, or if it's just a hard thing for humans to get. But I still desire and wish that we could grow as a culture, as a church culture, as a Christian culture, in the area of confession, that it would just come more quickly off our tongue, that it would be almost normalized.
Yes.
In the sense that, like, for me to say, oh, Rhonda, like, I shouldn't have said that, that, you know, just forgive me for having a bad attitude about that, for speaking negatively about that situation or about that person. Or even just confessional to God. Oh, God, like, forgive me for, you know, not being quick to obey. I was resistant to obedience. I've been waiting on that. I've sensed you've told me, but that I could verbalize that and say that just out loud and sort of normalize this constant state of awareness. Oh, I just, you know what, some jealousy came in my heart as I was thinking about that, or I'm feeling really overwhelmed. And I was holding something, you know, against this person as I was feeling this overwhelmed, like whatever it is, as they were coming, I wish we were able to just normalize that and be more confessional with each other, because I think we would be more free if we were, right? It's kind of a goal, a desire of my heart to live that way and to be more aware. But if I'm really, really honest, I need time in God's presence for him to bring up for me.
Yes.
Where those sins are hiding or crouching at the door of my heart. They're so often sort of hidden under busyness and under all these other things that are on my mind, that I have to take the time to go like, okay, God, like, where am I actually at? Where's my heart at? Where have I allowed small frustrations? Where have I allowed, just conflict or unforgiveness even? Where have I allowed my own offense of, you know, how, what someone has said, or where am I holding on to something that actually you've not asked me and it's not from you? You know, I have to kind of go to that place and take some time and really, really become aware of that in order to come into that, instead of it living on the forefront of my mind. So that was a big ramble around all of that. But ultimately, this pattern of repentance is for the sake of healing. This is why God, it is his love that leads us to a place of repentance. He is his kindness that leads us to a place of repentance, because he longs for us to be whole and he longs for us to be healed. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really where and why this comes first.
Oh, Lord,
in the prayer.
So, so good. I love that. Like, really being able to cultivate that repentance. It is hard. It is hard. You're right. Confessional. That part of confession.
Yeah.
And I think this is exactly the practice of a prayer like this, is actually helping us to practice confession. So more and more we're aware, like you said, we're in the presence of God, that things are stirred up faster.
Do you find that though? But do you agree with that? That like the things I'm a little bit worked up about are a little bit more present. Like if you asked me, like, what are your frustrations right now? I probably could tell you things I'm frustrated about. But if you asked me, what's your sin list? Like, I'd be like, oh, just wait. I need a little bit of time.
Yeah, it's true.
Think about
it's
that.
True. But actually, some of those sins are linked to those frustrations. They're right there. But we just clothe it in frustration. But it's like, no, I'm being blah, blah, blah. You just go through it. And I love, there was a talk a long time ago, but it was just saying, I think it was by Jay, just saying, like, do we hate our sin? Like, how much do we hate our sin? We're very quick to point out in the world, or our prime minister, or you name it.
Or other people's
other
sins.
Other people, our family, whatever.
Sins.
Yeah, one another, our sins. But do we hate our own sin more? Are we? And when we notice sin in other people, is it sometimes because it bothers us so much because there is actually a link to a sin that's in our own heart?
Oh, whoa, you're hitting on something there.
I wonder.
You know what?
That has happened many times to me, that I'll be very passionate about something and the Lord will be like, well, you've done that.
And I'll tell you why.
How have I done that? And God will show me. I'll be like, and it might be something so small that you don't even think about. But all of a sudden the Lord's like, no, that grieved my heart. And you're like, oh my goodness, do I hate my sin? But sometimes things I see that are, like you said, like the big plank in someone out, like the speck is actually, like you said, the plank that's like in my eye, but I'm hitting in their little plank, but I'm focused on that speck for them. You're right. But it's something actually, a trail back to where the Lord, the finger turns and God's like, that's in you. Confess it out. You know, that's why you're so passionate about it. I'm just showing
why you're
you.
So worked up.
Yeah.
So it's good.
True.
No.
It's true.
No, it's so true. And so that's the starting place. That's the starting place. But you know what? I think both of the lines are there, and whichever way we get there is the way we get there.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do have to just address the frustrations in order to get to the place of what's really under that. We see this all the time. Like honestly, any relationship you have, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your family, with your parents, even as adults, like we see this in every relationship. The things we're most frustrated about are usually a tie, usually connected in some way to something that God is working out in us. A way of loving, learning to love better. A way of learning to love more holy, more like Corinthians 13.
Yeah.
Being patient and kind and not envying and not boasting and not being proud. And like there's a connection between these things. And sometimes we do have to, just because we're so unholy, we have to start at our own frustrations and our own offenses and work our way back to recognize, oh man, that actually wasn't their issue at all. This was actually my issue, or I'm actually aggravating this issue. You know, one of the most incredible places of freedom that we can get to in our lives when it comes to relating to people, and all of us have people in our lives, whether it's work relationships, whether it's, again, our friendships and all of these different places. Like if we can get to the place where we can separate ourselves from other people's issues, like if you can actually go, like you can recognize it or see it, but not let it affect you to the point of anger, frustration, offense, and go like, wow, like, okay, they're dealing with A, B, C, or D. Like this is their issue. It's not my issue, but you can remain compassionate. You can remain forgiving. You can remain tender. You can remain loving. You can remain in a posture of praying for them, of walking with them. Like there's a great freedom, because I think part of what trips us up in our lives is our need to control.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true.
What everybody else is doing. They should have done it this way. It should have looked like this. Why didn't they do it like this? I would never do it like that. What are they thinking? Like, and we have no agency in that. None. Absolutely, absolutely none. So these are the cues and the clues of like, okay, God, what do I need to release? What do I need to let go? What do I need to trust you more? What do I need to trust you more with? My best friend who's driving me crazy. What do I need to trust you more? How could I pray for them? How could I be more loving in my heart toward them and really pray for them and really pray that God would meet them where they're at and not getting fixated on me needing to change them, right?
Yeah, no, that is such a good one. I would say that would probably be the hardest for me as well. And the closer you get, like the closer someone is to you, it's one thing to have something out there. I'm not saying that it doesn't affect me, but there's one thing to have something out there. But the closer it gets, the more deeply invested you are. And also the more deeply blinded you can be. It'd be very easy, like more controlling, but it can come kind of like with the best intent. And I know that's for me. Like I could get kind of like, well, why aren't they doing it like this? And I just want to fix it. And start to fixate on that, because it starts from a place of like love or a place of caring, but then it actually moves to control. And that's what I think you're saying. It's like a very subtle shift where it starts from a place, but it quickly, because my heart is deceitful. I want things my way. And we always choose the path of least resistance. So sometimes the closer it gets, it's very hard sometimes to untangle those where it starts to cross over. Because at times it doesn't always start with good intent. Sometimes you're just like, that is ticking me off and I want to change it. But sometimes actually something starts with a really good intent and quickly moves to control. It quickly moves into manipulating, or quickly moves to, I just want to disconnect or not love them. And you start to have frustration build or bitterness or whatever it may be. But you know, I think this is exactly why this is starts with confession. Because as we come into the presence of God, and as we allow all these things, forgive us my sins, and we see the gravity of our own sin, and we allow the Holy Spirit to go there, we're not going to do this perfect. And I think I want to be very clear to say, we're not talking about perfection here. We're talking about an absolute love for God to discipline us privately, developing a love, a cultivated love for that. Because I think there is a little bit of a fear of getting it wrong, a fear of failing. And that would be for me personally. I could say that very honestly. And I think it has been something I've had to cultivate. Maybe love is a strong word, but a cultivated love, trusting the one who loves me the most, to say, I need to cultivate your discipline here for you in love to perfectly discipline me. Because actually you doing this in the private place is going to help me to actually create less harm and pain in my own life, but in others, because I am blinded. But if we don't have a confessional place with God to let him go to us first, we can't actually see how we're damaging others, because those places in us is what damages others. It's not just, yes, people do all those things, but the greatest damage I cause is actually from my own sin. It really is. And that's a hard thing to say, because if I would think of the things that have come against me, it's much more minimal based on when I weigh it out, way more pain have I caused based on my own problems and my own sin and my brokenness. And yes, things have happened in my life, but way more on the other side. And we focus on the other things because it's way easier, because we take us out of the equation, right? We let absolutely ourselves off the hook.
Yeah.
But God is saying, no, you yeah are absolutely the first one on the hook. Like, yes, you need to deal with your stuff, deal with your stuff with me. And then
stuff.
I will illuminate where that overflow has come, where you need to then repent, be confessional, love deeper, be more generous, more grace-filled, more honest, mm-hmm, whatever it may look mm-hmm like. Fill mm-hmm the blank.
And I love that, because that's exactly what God's going to do. But it's not going to come from our own striving. Yeah. He's going to enable, he's going to actually empower us to walk that way. It's not like do better. It's literally, Holy Spirit, fill me so
yes
I can show your fruit to those around me. That's like, it comes from a deeper infilling of the Holy Spirit within us. Okay, let me ask you this question. Do you think it's okay to, if we're practicing this, to say, forgive me my sins, but to not be specific about those sins? Like, do you think it's okay to cover it as a blank, like as we're just in our daily time with God, kind of, Lord, forgive me of all of my sins? Or do you think we need to go into the specifics? And what does that kind of look like? I'm just asking as a curious question. I think people might be wondering that sometimes.
Well, I think it'd be, if you're just saying like, forgive my sins, like I go through the Lord's Prayer, almost like a checkbox, like, okay, I've just said it out loud. Perfect, God, you've got it. But no, I think it's actually meant to sit and to meditate on that. Like, forgive me my sins. Holy Spirit, show me. Because there's sins I don't even know. Like, how have I grieved you? Show me. And if it's quiet and you're like, nothing's coming to mind, well, forgive me my sins. If there is anything hidden or known, I confess that. But don't rush through that. I think that's a really important line. What is it? Show me how I've grieved your heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you need to stop and pause, because I think God doesn't also want vain repetition. You don't want to just be saying things almost like, I got that checklisted off.
I've said it.
I've covered myself.
I'm good.
Yeah. Woohoo. I said it. Done.
Yeah.
Check.
Yeah.
No, it's actually meant to be like, I'm in a relationship with you, God, here. This is not just a coverall. I want to see how I've hurt you. Please show me now. And I think that's as easy, but you don't have to also mine and like beat yourself and punish yourself too, right?
I totally agree. You don't have to like go searching for the most minute, like try to make up something.
Both extremes.
I agree. Because I do agree that if we're in a posture, and it is a posture thing, I know we say this all the time, but it is a posture thing. Like if we are in a posture of listening to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and allowing that conviction and welcoming it, he's going to show us. We don't have to go searching for it. And we're thick-headed. It might take us a little while to actually acknowledge and accept it, right? We're like, we pray, we're like, I didn't feel anything specific.
I'm good.
Then later on in the day, the Lord's like, there it is. You're like, oh, wow, where did that come from? Where did that thought come from? Where did that action come from? What? I can't even believe that, right?
Yes.
But it's because our posture is in a readiness to hear, to receive, to see, to... And then we respond as it comes. Right. So I know for me, sometimes like in that moment, even when I take time and I'm like, OK, God, like, you know, where am I at? Like really assess the place of my heart. I recognize like I don't even know my own heart. You know me better than I know myself. Like, show me the error of my ways. Show me where I've like grieved you. Show me. And I sit in that moment. And sometimes it doesn't like I don't not a lot or not a lot of specific things will come. But sure enough. Maybe that day, maybe later on, maybe the next day, something will happen in real time. And it shows, like it shows like a real place in my heart. And I'm like, wow, okay.
Isn't this beautiful, Lord? When you look at this, it's a living prayer.
Yes.
It's not meant, and I think this is what we're saying. It's not meant to be like, I prayed this, I put my Bible down, it's done. It's actually a living prayer of a way of living. It's like it's meant to be practiced all day. So every line of this, forgive us our sins. It's not just I prayed this in the morning. It's like I walk through my day with like, okay, Holy Spirit, even today, if there is something, bring it to mind when I go to bed. Was there anything? It's not just meant to be one and done. It's really this living space and place with God of relationship of like, I don't want to hurt your heart and I'm going to. And I need your help, Holy Spirit. And the beautiful thing is, God didn't leave us as an orphan. He gave us the Holy Spirit. It's so beautiful. So all through the day, the Holy Spirit's like, hey, keep on track, keep on track. It's not meant to give you shame. It's not meant to actually keep condemnation. It's meant to bring you into freedom and not be separated from God by your sin. It's beautiful. It's actually liberating. But I just love that.
I love it too. And truly, I really do think that the first line, forgive us our debts, it's tied into the second line as we forgive our debtors. It really is like they're connected. And I think as we learn to forgive ourselves, as we learn to allow the power of God's forgiveness of our sins to be manifest in our own lives, the receiving of that, all of this is like this beautiful circle. Right? That it leads us into the ability to forgive, because like forgiving other people is hard. And it is sometimes like you and I both told stories where we've walked specific situations and we're like, wow, like forgiveness is hard. If something just gets, we get really stuck on something and the way that we've been wronged has, it's just not been made right. And it's hard to work through. It is. And I want to acknowledge like, so many of you who are listening to have been through like, well, we all have like all of us, you are listening. We've all been through unimaginable things that are like, you know, when you tell the stories and you talk about it, you're like, oh my goodness, like that's tough. It's really what you said, the reality of our own brokenness just playing out in our relationships with each other. And it's real and it's deep and it's hard, but there is something about this practice that if we can get the power and the revelation of what Jesus has done for us and this beautiful exchange that can happen on a daily basis and in a living basis, I do believe it plays right into our ability, not in our own strength, but in the power of the Spirit within us to be able to walk out forgiveness. Because you and I could sit all day today and we could talk about all the tips and steps of how do you walk forgiveness and all of that, but the bottom line is the only way to forgive is to forgive.
Yes.
Like
yes.
I like, it's not like we can walk, oh, and you know, you just, you practice it and you say it out loud before you believe it and you pray blessing on the prayer. And you know, we have all these ideas and tips, but you, the only way to forgive is to forgive. And the reality is that we have been forgiven. And when we put the focus on what we have been forgiven of, which is why it comes first in the prayer, it makes it much easier for us to forgive the wrongs that have been done to us. So these two are very closely linked and very closely connected. And it's why Jesus told us the parable about the unforgiving servant.
Yes.
This ridiculous, exaggerated story about this unimaginable debt that never could be repaid, that was forgiven, that was completely forgiven. And yet that same person went and held a small debt against someone right after, immediately after this story was given to us, to show us this is exactly what we're doing if we don't forgive, because an unimaginable debt has already been paid in Christ's blood for us.
Yes.
So that we could be reconciled to relationship with God, so that we could actually be in a position, an inheritance of forgiven.
Oh, that's really good, Lori.
Of being made right by Christ, by the work of Christ. Like, this is the inheritance that we've been invited into. This is the gift, the free gift of grace that we've been given, right? So I love, and I think this is the full circle moment of this whole part of the prayer is, no, we're supposed to focus on our stuff, because our stuff is the block for all the rest. It's our stuff. It's not the stuff that people have done, but we think it is.
Yes.
We think it is. We let that become so big. But when we have that true revelation of what we've been forgiven of, how can we but not forgive those that have done something to us, hurt us, that are debtors, that are our debtors?
Well, that is honestly so beautiful. I love how you even brought that all together. It really is a full circle. It really is a full circle. For those who are listening today, you know, you may be going through something really difficult, or there's been something that's been brought up that now you're having to deal and face. You know, it really is. I know it sounds easy when you say forgive, but that is actually what you have to do, is forgive. And it's a journey. And the beautiful thing is, I love what you said, Lord. It's provision from heaven. God's given us forgiveness. He's forgiven us from the greatest and continues to forgive us.
Yeah.
And because of that, we can be supernaturally empowered by God to go on that journey of forgiving others for some of the most painful things that have happened. You can go on that journey, and you can trust God to lead you on the journey. He is the perfect one who gives forgiveness. He can walk you through that. And I think that's it. If you're on something, you think, there's no way I can do this, I don't know how to forgive this person or what's happened, I think that's when we can come into that dependency of God, because you will not be able to do it, but God with you and through you and in you on this journey in time, you will find yourself on this beautiful journey of redemption that only God can bring you on. So today, if you've hit that barrier, guess what? It's okay. Because you've recognized we're limited. We can't even forgive ourselves. We need the forgiveness of our Father. We can't forgive our own sins. We need God to forgive us, and we need to receive that forgiveness. But because of that, you will be empowered to go on that journey. So I just want to encourage one of you listening might be thinking, if only you knew my story, this is way too hard. It's impossible. God says nothing's impossible, but He will empower you, and you won't be able to do this on your own, but go on the journey with God. Trust Him one step. It won't happen overnight, but go on the journey. And the journey of forgiveness is worth it, because you are going to receive so much of a revelation of God's love for you, God's forgiveness for you, but also His care for you. And He's going to walk you through it. And you're going to find yourself on the other shoreline of this. Looking back, it doesn't diminish or take away what's happened, but it definitely will have a redemption framework that will be absolutely miraculous. And you will be so overwhelmed by the goodness of God, because God will work all things together for your good. So go on the journey of forgiveness. It's worth it. But Holy Spirit, do that work daily in us. Yes. And may we cultivate that heart to hate our sin more than anything, to be ruthless with our sin in the secret place, because we don't want separation, but we also know what that sin can do. And so may we not just take it lightly, but really deal with our stuff. And so this was a beautiful reminder today.
So good. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, and go on the journey. Redemption is there for you.